Dr. Finley's Casebook. Adapted for radio from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin. With Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, Bill Simpson as Dr. Finley.
And this week's guest, Nigel Stott, as General Hannon in The General. And adapted for radio by Donald Bill.
Good, Jasha! Good, boy! Now, let's tackle that wall. Neither of us too well for it, eh? That's it! Straight, that's it! You, boy! Hey there! Get out! Out of the way, get out! You damn little fool!
I'm sorry, Miss.
Sorry? God, my ankle! What are you doing skulking there? This is private land.
What did you
mean? Didn't mean? I'll teach you a lesson on your back with my crop. I'll teach you. Come back. Come back. Come back.
Oh, Dad, I'm dying.
Oh, it's broken. Come on then, boy. Come on. Come on, Jessa. Let's run off. Now, you'll remember this. Come on, get up, boy. Jessa!
And who the hell does he think he is, laying into my boy?
Oh, isn't he doing nothing?
General Hannon. I knew his kind in France. Field punishment. Tie a man to your field gun and
I... Well, it's just a few bruises in this case. Now, how do you feel, Bobby?
I'm all right.
You said bruises.
Aye.
Right. Then you can give me a certificate to say just that.
Why? What for?
Listen, Doctor, no man does that to my boy. I am not just going to lie down and forget it.
Look, if you've got the police in mind, the boy was trespassing.
Then I'll get my union to hire a lawyer and sue him for damages. Never mind how big a man he was in the war. He can't do that and get away with it. He's going to pay.
Now, look, let me have a word with Dr. Cameron. General Hannon is one of his patients. Maybe he can sort this out for you.
Good morning, Mrs. Hannon.
Good morning, Dr. Cameron.
Your roses will make a fine show this year.
I always look forward to them. Well, the General's inside, Doctor. He's expecting you.
Thank you. It's not usual that I call here on his account. How are you keeping?
Oh, well enough. I get a bit of indigestion.
Yes?
But that's all it is. You better go in, Doctor. You know how he is.
Yeah.
It's a damn nuisance. You mean I've got to sit around doing nothing?
It's a nasty spleen. You have to keep your weight off it as much as possible.
Oh, well, in that case, pour me a drink, there's a good chap, and take one yourself. Now that little fiend's Crockney. Oh, heaven, if I catch him again on my land.
Young Bobby Muir?
You know the brat?
I know his father. He's pretty upset.
Yes, well, it's a pity he didn't take the boy in hand himself. And still a decent respect for other people's property.
All the same, laying about here with a riding crop. Just because a wee lad has set foot on your land.
It's my land. I've earned it and paid for it. Besides, it's not all. When the horse fell, he broke his neck. Poor beast had to be shot.
I'm sorry. I was hoping you might solve the matter by having a quiet word with the boy's father. Explain, you just lost your temper.
Damn it, I never lose my temper. The boy needed punishing, and that's all.
I see.
Right. There's the certificate, Bentley. What more do you want?
That's not the issue.
What the hell's the union for?
Young Bobby's not a member yet that I know of.
Oh, aye. So that's the way.
Calm down, will you, man? I'm not saying it's impossible, but you can...
Listen, Neil. You were in France along with the rest of us. Did you ever see Hannon or any other staff general at the front? Did you?
What's that got to do with it?
A hell of a lot. They sat in their chateaus along with their fancy staff officers taking their leaves in Paris while we were knee-deep in filthy, stinking mud in the trenches. If they came within 5 miles of the front, they didn't dare get off their horses in case they saw their boots.
Whether our like generals is neither here nor there.
Is it not? Hannon is a murdering, stupid swine who ordered me, ordered thousands of men to their death without caring a tuppenny damn. We weren't human beings to him, we were cattle. Well, by God, it's time he learned different. And if you're afraid of him, I'm not. He's not the only one who can use a whip.
Now, John, don't do anything daft. John, you left your certificate.
I suppose you think Hannon was justified.
No, I do not. But he was thrown, he was injured, and he lost a valuable horse. And he was angry.
He used a riding crop as if he were dealing with an animal. Except that he probably wouldn't dream of beating an animal. I think that old fool was made to face the consequences of his actions.
General Hannon is not much younger than I am, Dr. Finney.
Oh, his mind was old and fossilized when you were a young man. Do you not agree, Janet?
You know perfectly well, Doctor, I would not dream of expressing a personal opinion about a patient.
Wouldn't you, Janet?
Well, I do know the tradespeople do not like him, though he does pay his bills promptly. I don't know if that means anything.
But it means he's arrogant and bad-mannered and unfeeling. It's all of a piece with the way he commanded his divisions from a safe spot in the rear.
You are not in France, Dr. Finney. You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I know this. Hannon and his kind were incompetent, callous spendthrifts of other men's lives. 4 years of useless butchery. Millions of men killed. Millions! Living like animals in mud and filth. And the men, like Hannon, calmly deciding to attack here, counterattack there, writing orders, knowing that every word meant 1,000 men mown down.
He was not alone in that.
No, but by God, you have to be a strange sort of man to do that and sleep at night. Hannon doesn't realize that people can suffer. He doesn't care a damn about anyone.
Ah, first rate. Nothing I like more than a good bit of biryani. Well, you haven't touched yours, my dear.
Well, I don't feel like it.
Nonsense, best thing in the world.
I'm not very hungry.
Oh, is your tummy playing you up?
A little.
Keeping yourself regular?
Oh, George.
Good stiff walk, that's what you need.
Well, as a matter of fact, I thought I might lie down for an hour.
The worst thing you could do. Keep yourself regular, that's the answer. Take a dose of Jollop, walk up the glen and back, and you'll be as right as rain. I'd come with you if it weren't for my gammy leg. Still, give me a chance to get on with my scribbling.
Have the publishers been on to you again?
Oh, those fellows are always in a hurry. I don't intend to rush my memoirs. Got to make sure the record's straight, you know.
George, I...
What?
Well, it's not my imagination, you know. I really don't feel very well. I'm sorry, but I don't... I'd like you to call Dr. Cameron.
Hannon! Hannon! Hannon!
Who the devil are you? And what are you doing on my lawn?
Muir's my name.
Who?
John Muir.
What do you mean by bellowing like that?
Now,
eh?
Look, I just...
If you've got something to say to me, you knock at the door in the proper manner.
You stay where you are. You're not dealing with a small boy now. No man takes a whip to my son. Maybe you see the switch in my hand.
I do.
Aye. Well, I've a mind to see how you appreciate your own medicine.
You have, eh? Well, you can't use it from there. Come closer, man.
If I do...
Closer! I'll... That's right. Old soldier, aren't you, Muir?
Never mind that.
I thought you were. Now stop behaving like a damn fool. You should know better.
You've no right to lay into my
boy. I've every right. Stupid child trespasses. Makes me fall. Kills my horse. And what the devil do you think I'm going to do? Pat his head?
You could have asked
I dealt with him. The matter's closed.
He didn't deserve a beating.
I refuse to discuss the matter any further. Good day, Muir. I said good day.
The hell with you.
Dr. Cameron, I wanted a word with you in private.
Oh?
I'm a little frightened.
Why?
Well, a number of times when I've been sick.
Sick?
Yes.
Since when?
Oh, several weeks.
Mrs. Hannon, every time I've seen you, I've asked you if there's been vomiting. And you've said no.
Yes, I know. I didn't want to trouble you.
It's my job to be troubled.
Yes, well, now there's blood. Just a little when I'm sick.
Why didn't you tell me of this immediately?
Well, I didn't... Oh, you see, George, he can't bear illness. He doesn't like me being unwell, and I didn't want to make a fuss.
All right, Mrs. Hammond. I want you to tell me everything that's been wrong. Without holding back anything this time.
Ah, who finished?
Yes.
Where's Dorothy?
She'll be down in a moment.
How is she? Is it just the usual tummy upset, eh?
General, I'm going to arrange for Mrs. Hannon to go into hospital for x-rays.
What?
And I'd like her to stay for a day or two until we know the results.
Now, look here, Cameron. What the devil are you talking about? No one goes into hospital for indigestion.
It is possible that it may be something more serious.
More serious? Since when?
I could be wrong. Let's make sure.
Hospital?
I'll make all arrangements.
Damn slack way of going on this, isn't it, Cameron?
I don't think I understand
you. You've been treating my wife for dyspepsia. And suddenly you tell me it may not be dyspepsia at all.
Well, it may not.
Then why the devil didn't you know that before? That's your blasted job, isn't it?
The symptoms can be misleading.
I know what excuse is. If a man makes mistakes like that, I've no time for him. Kindly be good enough to let me have your bill up to date, Cameron. I have no further use for your services.
Very well. But your wife needs care.
She shall have it. But I don't trust your competence, sir. I would strongly recommend you to think about retiring. It's time you handed over to a younger man.
Good day, General.
Good day. Dolly.
I was just coming down. I'm sorry, George. Did you give Dr. Cameron a cup of tea?
I've sacked him. I sent him off.
Oh, George.
He's no good, Dolly. Indigestion, he says. Now he's talking of hospital and x-rays. Well, I don't trust a muddler. I'm getting you someone who knows his business. And I have an idea of just the man, too. It wouldn't be the first time I've promoted a major over his colonel's head.
Dr. Finlay.
Oh, Miss Hannon here, Finlay.
Yes? Just a moment. You really want to speak to Dr. Cameron, don't you?
I do not. Dr. Cameron is no longer tending this house. I want you to take over the care of my wife.
What? No, wait a minute.
I'm appointing you, Finlay. I'd be obliged if you come here as soon as possible. Is that clear? As soon as possible.
Oh, I'll be... Dr. Cameron...
Janet tells me you've just had a call from Hannon.
Yes, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not feeling very intelligent today, but... what's going on?
General Hannon has dismissed me.
What?
I assume his call was to appoint you instead?
He has to look after his wife. He can find somebody else. There's one man in this world I've no time for whatever. It's General Hannon.
I'm well aware of that. But his wife may be very ill. Someone must persuade Hannon that she's got to go into hospital. I've failed. So it has to be you.
All right, but after that, he can make other arrangements. I want no more to do with Hannon than I can help.
Thank you, sister. Well, hello, Dorothy. Treating you all right, are they?
Oh, yes, very well.
This is a nice little room. Sunny. And private. Anything you want? Some books, perhaps?
I'm rather bored. I don't like lying in bed.
Well, of course not. Grapes. Still, it's best to let them do their stuff, you know.
Are you managing all right?
Oh, yes, yes. Been foddering myself, you know. That rigid girl, Betty, can't even boil an egg. Terrible muck.
Oh, well, never mind.
The quacks haven't said anything to you, I suppose.
No. And you?
Oh, lots of double talk, you know. I can't get a straight answer. 10 to 1, there's nothing wrong at all. Don't you think?
Quite lightly.
Well, I mean, everyone feels a bit down now and then. There's nothing to worry about. Finley's a bright young fellow. He seems to know what's what. He's having a powwow with the chief man here right now.
What do you think, Mr. Thurles?
I want to bring Mackenzie in it. Exploratory operation.
Yes, I have to go to Glasgow for that.
Yeah. It could be something quite simple, Dr. Finlay, but... Well, if it isn't, I don't really think there's very much hope for her.
Glasgow? Well, how long is she likely to be in Glasgow?
I couldn't say for sure.
It's just inconvenient without her here, you know.
I'm sorry about that, General Hannon, but I think she should go.
Now, wait a minute. Let's get this straight. Stage one is a sort of preliminary operation.
Yes.
And there's no risk attached to that.
There shouldn't be, no.
Ah. Yes, well, you have to put your trust in someone. Yes, all right, go ahead. When will this be?
Well, she ought to be moved straight away.
No chance of spending a few days at home first?
No.
No. Oh, well, if you say that's the way to get her fixed up, all right. You're the man in charge, Finlay. Always rely on the man in charge. It's up to you. I will be able to be, near her up in Glasgow while they're doing the necessary.
Of course.
George.
Hello. You all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Well, there's nothing to worry about, you know. Perfectly straightforward. Well, I see they're ready to trundle you off. I'm going to hang on here.
All right, George.
See you later.
Goodbye, George.
Oh, it's gone 9. Mackenzie should have phoned by now.
About the exploratory operation.
Aye, to let me know whether it was going to be serious or not.
Let's hope not.
Well, perhaps he's expecting you to ring, Doctor.
Yes, I'd better do that. Oh, well, that'd be him. Dr. Finlay?
Finlay, I'd like you to come over.
General Hammond? Well, I haven't talked to Dr. Mackenzie yet.
I want you to come over here right away, to my house.
Very well. Well, I'll just put a call through to...
You can do that from here. Finlay, I'm asking you as an urgent and personal favor to come now, without delay. Now, can you do that?
Aye, all right. I'll leave immediately. He's back. Wants me to go over there at the double.
What is it?
Wouldn't say. 10-1, his ankle's playing him up. That's much more important than hearing about his wife. Well, he can wait.
He didn't say it was his ankle?
No.
Then I think you should go. You can never tell what's wrong, Dr. Finlay. Until you get there.
Ah, I suppose so. But if it's some trivial nonsense that could have waited, by heaven, he'll learn what I think of him, general or not.
Dr. Finlay, if you should speak to Mackenzie, I'd be very obliged if you'd let me know the result.
Yes, I will.
It's good of you to come so promptly.
I gather that it was urgent.
Yes. It's a great relief to see you. Great relief.
Well, then.
Take a seat, Finlay. That one's comfortable, the one by the fire. I've been trying to light it. The damn thing won't go. Well, it's not my special skill, to tell the truth. There are fires and things. Never had to bother. That girl we've got laid it. She made a mess of it. Oh, she's gone. Only a daily, you know. Doesn't live in. Oh, you haven't got a match, have you? I seem to have run out.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
General Hannon, are you ill?
Me? Good Lord, no. Never had a day's illness in my life. Except this ankle. Oh, yes, and when the boars wounded me, of course.
Then, would you mind telling me what's so important?
Yes, that's better. Looks as if it's going to go this time. Sit down, Finlay.
Now, look, General.
Would you like a brandy or something?
Now, look, I'm on call. I've been out all evening. I've been working all day. I only had 4 hours sleep last night. I'm scarcely in the mood for a social visit.
You don't get time to scratch your behind, eh? That's the best time of all, you know. When you look back. Life's got meaning, then. Worth something.
You don't mind if I use your telephone?
What for?
Well, to telephone Mr. Mackenzie, General, about your wife.
Oh. You needn't bother.
What?
I mean, you can if you like. Very welcome and all that, but it isn't necessary. I was at the hospital.
How is she?
She's dead.
Dead?
Yes.
This operation was only preliminary. I mean, we knew it might be serious later, but I don't understand it.
Dead all the same, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good of you to say that.
What happened?
Oh, 7:10 it happened. 7:10 precisely. Then I hired a car. I'm motored back from Glasgow. I just got in when I telephoned you.
Yes, but what I mean is, how? There was no reason. Not now.
It's a shock, you know. Great shock. We've been married 25 years. That's a long time. Need a bit of help to see me through.
Oh, I see. Is that why you called me?
Yes, I do hope you don't mind. The plain truth is, Finlay, I wondered if you could stay with me here. You see, Finlay, I don't think I can face this night. Not alone.
General Hannon, I appreciate how you feel.
Do you? You don't have to talk, you know. Go to sleep on the couch or in that chair, if you like.
You must understand, if a doctor were obliged to spend the night with every relative of every patient who died...
Well, I know I'm out of order, Finlay. I do know that, but... Just the same. I beg of you.
Well, I'd like to telephone Mr. McKenzie and then ring my partner.
Yes, of course, but... Will you stay, Finlay? It's the first few hours, that's all. Once I'm over that, I just need someone here. So sorry to impose on you, but if you possibly could...
Yes. All right, General. I'll stay.
Dr. Finlay phoned Janet. He went up home tonight.
Oh?
He's staying with General Hannon.
Why, Doctor? Is the General ill?
No. His wife died earlier this evening.
Oh.
He is deeply distressed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor.
So am I, Janet. Sincerely sorry. She was a nice woman. Good woman. I'll take morning surgery, Janet. I expect Dr. Finlay will need his sleep when he comes back.
Yes, Doctor.
Well, I think I'll wait to bed then. You know, Janet, the doctor always hates to lose a patient. It's another defeat. And yet, when I heard that I was right about Mrs. Hannon, I could not suppress the feeling that I was justified. Is that selfish?
It means only that you are relieved to know that you did your best for your patient. That's the truth. And you've no need to be ashamed of it.
Well, thank you, Janet. Thank you.
Can I put some more in your glass, Finlay?
No, thank you.
Strange. Collapsed and died under the anesthetic. Just like that.
Well, the point is, we couldn't predict this. The operation was justified.
Mackenzie told me. Said quite likely they could have fixed her up if she hadn't... Well...
Yes.
It's funny to think that Cameron was right all along. He took me off balance, I suppose. I was a bit hard on him. I'm sorry about that. I don't like to withhold credit where credit's due. Well, draw the curtains, I suppose. Keep out the dark. The dark. You know, I used to look up at the stars sometimes in France and wonder what the devil anyone up there would think of us. I don't think there's anyone up there now. I'm Church of England, you know. Always went to church parades, services, and so on. I took it for granted, but not now. Not now she's dead.
Look, I know it's hard just now, but everyone has to face this sometime or other.
Oh, yes, rationally, I'm sure you're right, but she was only 50, you know. But they were 49. I mean, there's no reason. She never did anyone any harm.
General, you sound, as if you never thought of this before.
I don't think I have. No, I haven't.
But what about all the millions of men who died in France?
No, that's not the same. War, that's different. 1904 we were married. Those were great days. I was a captain. Plenty of hunting. Polo. Comradeship. I went to India soon afterwards, and Dorothy came with me. She didn't like it much. I did. She was a good woman, you know.
I didn't know her very well.
Well, she suited me anyway.
Do you mind if I say something that might sound brutal?
No, carry on.
Well, the desire for survival, for life, is the strongest instinct in mankind. I mean, this fundamentally is what enables people to adjust to bereavement in time. Well, you'll find that you'll be able to adjust, too.
I dare say you're right. I don't know how, though. Good Lord, it's dawn. I expect you'll be wanting to go.
We'll still be asleep at Arden House, or I'll wait a while longer.
You know, Doctor, It was running through my mind half the night. When Jenny Ransom lost her man in France, she said nothing. She asked no one for help. And the day after she got the telegram, she started to work and brought up 3 bairns on her own. And if she was sorry for herself, she never showed it.
You're thinking of General Hannon.
Aye. And all those young men who never came back.
Did you know Mrs. Hannon, Janet?
No, Doctor.
She was quite plain, quite ordinary. Very quiet. As far as I could see, the General took her entirely for granted. His life has no purpose now. He has no one. Don't you find that an awful thought, Janet? Can't you find compassion in your heart for the man?
Maybe so, Doctor. When you put it like that.
I'll be away.
Yes, well, I can't tell you how grateful I am, Finley.
I'll look in tomorrow.
Would you? That's most good of you. As you can see, I'm at a loss for the moment. I expect this is the perfect opportunity for me to continue my writing.
Yes, you might want to write some of it differently now.
Differently? How do you mean?
Never mind, I shouldn't have said that.
No. Speak up, I don't understand.
Well, for example, after reading some of it, you said at one point the attack was pressed home with great vigor.
Yes. Yes, I remember. Well, so it was.
You lost 10,000 men and you didn't gain a yard.
Well, of course. I made a particular point of that. We had to wait for reinforcements and that delayed the next offensive.
Reinforcements? They were human beings.
Human beings? Of course they were human beings. Best set of fellows in the world. Couldn't wish for better. I'm sorry, I don't see what you're driving at.
But those 10,000 men had wives and mothers who felt as you do now. Didn't you think of that when you watched them move up to the front and die?
Of course. I saw it happen. Luce, the Somme, Passchendaele. If it hadn't been for the mud, if it hadn't rained, we'd have broken through.
Oh, aye, there was always an if, though, wasn't there? But it never happened.
I'm not an articulate man, Finley. Just a professional soldier. The fact is, there was no choice. My job was to fight battles. I knew the men would die, but I couldn't suffer all their griefs any more than you can bear all your patients' ills yourself. Well, a stimulating discussion, Finley. We must talk again. It's a nice day. I suppose I'd better get out in the garden a bit now. Dorothy always did it, you know. The roses. She'd like it kept up a bit, I suppose. Well, here we are at the gate. Goodbye, Finley. Thanks again.
Goodbye, General.
You've been listening to The General, written by N.J. Crisp and adapted for radio by Donald Bull from the television series based on the characters created by A.J. Cronin and broadcast by arrangement with Graham Stewart. The cast was as follows: Dr. Cameron, Andrew Cruikshank; Janet, Barbara Mullen; Dr. Finlay, Bill Simpson; General Hannon, Nigel Stock, Mrs. Hannon, Gudrun Muir, Bobby Muir and the consultant, Michael Deacon, John Muir, Roy Hanlon, Bentley, Douglas Blackwell. The play was produced by Trafford Whitelock.